Welcome to Manager Tools. How to do a phone screen interview, part 3. Here we go. A lot of managers are surprised, Mark, when you tell them that the manager should actually make the call to the candidate, not the other way around, not the candidate calling.
Yeah, and we can discuss that more, but it's really easy to come to that conclusion if you ask the companies who are really, really good at hiring really good people, who have really rigid processes with high standards. If you ask them, they say, no, we're the one that makes the call. This is simply how it's done. Recruiting and hiring managers want to send a message that my time with you is important to me and I care enough about it to be prepared and to be prompt. Now, I'm gonna give you guys an out. You don't have to do it this way. This is not black and white. Mike, I don't know. I think part of Manager Tools value is to help people understand at one level what other people are doing, because the average manager doesn't know. I mean,
that's right.
We talk all the time about the average manager. It certainly was true for you and me as we were learning. It was like, everybody else knows, but I don't. And I'm worried that people will find out I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm making my best decisions, but I don't know if there's any better way. I don't know if there's a right way.
Right. And all the other managers that you know are also afraid. So they're not telling you what they're doing because they're afraid it's wrong too.
Yeah. There are plenty of managers who say, I'm going to give them a time to call. And if they're not professional enough to call me at that time, that's a reason to say no. And guys, that's a reasonable application of the underlying purpose of this process, which is to find a reason to say no about the candidate. But if the reason to let them call and to have them take the initiative, knowing that many people, and no offense, guys, but much more likely among younger people, that we want to give them a hoop to get through and they're not going to get through it, and so therefore we can rule them out, and them making the call on time, which, by the way, the definition of on time is really vague to a lot of people. I can't imagine that, but, well, I should be able to imagine it, but I don't. The idea being that, well, they won't be able to do it. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. Here's what you're missing. If you're the one that calls, there are three benefits, okay? The first one is you tell them, I'm going to be on time, which is a message about timeliness and speed and sense of urgency that's important in your organization. The second thing, you're telling them they're important to you. In other words, by you making the call on a phone screen, you're getting a small check mark in the, this is the kind of company I want to work for or work with. In other words, you have a selling point about the company. You told them, I'll call you at 2, and then you call at 2. I assure you, people will absolutely have a little exclamation. If it was a cartoon, they'd have an exclamation point over their head. Yeah, the cartoonist would draw an exclamation point over their head. They'd be like, whoa. Now, what this means, and what I'm sure many of you will choose to remember about this is, oh, I have to call right at the right time, and maybe I'm not that good at calling the right time. So, folks, like we said, you don't have to do it this way. It's not black and white. If you can't actually be made to pick up the phone to manage your own time, so that at 1:55, you stop doing what you're doing, you put the resume down in front of you, you get their phone number, you're not scrambling around for it, you know what phone number it's supposed to be, you had it in your calendar, you call it at the right time, and if you're calling on your cell phone, which would be okay for a phone screen, you then hit send, or the green button, or whatever it is, right at 2 o'clock. If you don't believe you can do that, then by all means, have them call you. By the way,
and if the you situation, can't do that, you shouldn't be interviewing people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the second punchline, right? What's funny is, if you can't do that, all you're saying is, I'm not going to be ready if they call me on time. And so what managers, in my experience, Mike, or in my opinion, what managers have done have said, well, I don't want to tell them I'm going to call at 2, because if, in fact, I call at 2:05, I'll end up having to apologize. It's not a good start. Well, who's in control of your calendar other than you? And don't tell me it's your boss. So if you can't do that, and so it's easier for you to have them call you, all you're saying is, I won't be prepared. So you're now talking to a candidate who is on time, who you've already screened and said, there's something here to like. And you're saying, I can't be ready. So the first thing, oh, hi, Mark, sorry, not quite ready yet. If you think that sends a message of I'm really busy, it doesn't. It sends a message that They're not important to you, because if they were important, you'd have been looking forward to their call. In fact, I can tell you, I've done this 500, maybe 1,000 times in my life. I've called people for phone screens, and I've called precisely on time. And they're like, wow, you really meant 2 o'clock, which of course is their way of saying nobody else does this, or I don't do this. I'm not that on time. I say, oh yeah, this is important to me. You've made it through our first screening, and time is valuable to me, and I said I'd call you at 2, and this is the most important, these calls are the most important calls I make in terms of all the other things I do today at work, because you and I may work together for 25 years.
You made an important point about selling, and we haven't talked a lot about that on this cast, but in fact, you are selling. It doesn't matter, the hard sell, right? But you're selling sometimes by subtle things. And
yeah,
the whole purpose of the phone screen and the interviewing process, like we've said several times, is to find a reason to say no. Well, candidates sometimes think the same way. And this whole process is designed to find the very, very best people. And I guess what? The very, very best people, they have options. You're not the only game in town. And they're evaluating you, the professionalism of you, your company, and making decisions about whether or not they want to come work for you. And
yeah, when we talk about both sides of the coin, I think if we have high standards, we call on time, we make the call, we are sending a message how important we are, this is to us. I think that makes it easier for us to hold them to high standards. And I got to tell you, if somebody calls you at 2:05 and they get your voicemail, do you really think you're going to be able to tell them this is important to me? It's not. I don't know. I don't want to go to work for a boss who's like, yeah, I'm really busy, so we won't, you know, last minute, I'm sorry, we won't be able to do it today. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to be like working for that guy?
Yeah. You guys may disagree with this. If you're listening and you disagree, say, I don't think, you know, phone screen, not all that important. That's okay. You're welcome to that conclusion. I'm going to say it again. Manager tools believe the most important decisions that managers make for the future of their organization is the people they hire. If you think you can make outstanding hiring decisions with a sloppy, not crisp, not timely process, you're smoking crack. It amazes me that we can have a detailed process for so many things, but when it comes to people, yeah, you know, we'll do it when we do it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
So we recommend you make the phone call. You get some benefits around marketing/selling, the kind of person you are, the kind of manager you'll be, and so on. Do you have to do it that way? No. But as I've said before, I know it gets me in trouble with some people who don't like me, but if you're the manager who doesn't want to make the phone call and you want to be a little bit soft and loose on time, that's okay. I want the team next to yours. I'll be the guy who calls my candidates on time.
There you go. There you go. Making friends again.
Well, no, look, if it's a competitive environment. And look, I shouldn't say it that way. What I should say, guys, is this is our recommendation to you. Do it this way and reap the benefits.
Right.
Can I say one more thing? When it comes to phone screens and interviewing in general, there's no way that you can truly understand in detail another person exceptionally well in an interview. To therefore say, you know, I can't get it all done in an hour, but I'll be 5 minutes late, and so therefore I'll cut out what amounts to, you know, 5 minutes out of an hour is nearly 10%. If you're 5 minutes late, you've thrown away 10% of the value. What's more, you're going to start off on the wrong foot. I don't get it. Either it's important to you, and so therefore you apply high standards to it, or it's not. So being on time allows you to control the interview so you can get as much information as possible. So, and so you end up with a much higher likelihood that the yes you give them about yes, come to the next level, or the no that you give them is clear in your mind, and therefore easier to communicate to others and, of course, to the candidate as well.
Cool. Let's talk about the call itself, right? And yeah, like all interviews, it start, you know, generally starts with brief introduction, brief chit-chat.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. It's Mark. Hope you're doing well today. Yeah, exactly.
So you don't start off, hi, Mark. It's Mike. Tell me about yourself.
And for the record, we've got guidance about the beginnings of interviews elsewhere. But you're right. A little bit of introduction. Hi, Mike. I'm Mark Horseman. Blah, blah, blah. And it only takes 1 or 2 minutes. It's just polite human interaction. If you go right into tell me about yourself, let's get started. Hi, Mike. It's Mark. Let's get started right away. Tell me about yourself. some of you will say, well, that's efficient, and you'd be right, but it will negatively affect your ability to hire, which makes it ineffective. So we don't do it.
Yeah, I think some people think about putting candidates under stress, right? So if we start right away, it puts them under stress. And
you're totally right.
It gives us a better chance to see what the candidate is made of.
I think we've talked about this before. Lately, I've been doing, I just finished a week where I did 3 effective interviewer conferences. Folks, if you don't know, we do effective interviewer conferences across the U.S. and overseas as well. And we're going to add more next year because of the demand we had this year. And I talk about this all the time, that really good interviewers are really good at telling people what's going to happen. Giving candidates a process overview is super important. If you try to make it too efficient and you end up coming across as brusque, when candidates say they really want a conversational interview, which by the way, they don't actually know what they mean, and what they mean is not what you want to give them, but they need to feel that they've had a conversational experience with you. You cannot, anything stress related is inherently bad. There is already enough stress in the process. Simple.
Yeah. I think some managers I've seen in the past, they feel like putting somebody under stress really reveals their inner character, as if bringing them to the company location, going to the company pool, say you have a pool, filling it with alligators, sticking the candidate in the middle of the pool in an inner tube, and then starting asking them questions, as if that were a good indicator of how good the candidate were.
Yeah, I told somebody recently that your job as a manager is to learn the line between eustress and distress for each of your directs, and then keep them fairly close to that most of the time, because that's their sweet spot for performing. And he said in response, look, what I do is I just ratchet up the stress to a super high level and then gradually work it back down until I find what they can deal with. And I asked him, I said, well, how does that work on relationships? And he says, well, I'm actually not that big on relationships with my directs. Okay, well, I'll shut up then, because you won't like any of the things I say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's not enough that we feel our process is effective for us and our firm. If you build a process that doesn't include the perception of the candidate, you're missing a beat here, guys. It's important to our acceptance rate for offers and future relationships with people who come to work for us that candidates feel that the process we're creating is fair and reasonable. And here's where it gets really interesting. Candidates who are told no, there's data on this, and believe the process they were exposed to was fair, handle the rejection way better. And what's more, if the process was unfair or unclear or biased or in any way insensitive or capricious, not only did they not handle it well, but you end up losing people that you want to hire. So tell candidates what's going to happen. Okay. Let them know in advance, this is what I'm going to do in this phone screen. And for the record, when we say screen, phone screen means on the phone, and it means a shortened, high-level interview. But a screen is not an interview. It is an interview. In fact, as we've said before, from the moment you start seeing a resume up until the moment you offer them a job, and even after, until after they accept and so on, you're evaluating people. During some of that time, you're interviewing them, but all the time you're evaluating them. But a screen is simply a shortened interview. It is still an interview. Here's how it might sound. Hey, Mike, before I ask you my first question, I just want to explain generally how this process works relative to the phone screen. This phone screen is our first step. It's only going to be 30 minutes long. I may only ask you 1 or 2 or 3 questions, depending upon your answers. I'm going to probe. I'm going to interrupt periodically for more information. Don't worry. That's normal. I won't have time to ask for your questions generally, depending upon how things go. So we'll save those for an in-person interviewing day if we take that next step. I probably won't be able to give you a yes-no answer about inviting you back for the next step during this call. It's possible, but it's not likely. I'll want to think about this and other phone screens I'm doing and maybe share my thoughts with others here internally. That said, because I've been interviewed before and I know I don't like hearing, you will hear from me one way or another within a week at most. So now I've told them what's going to happen in this interview, and I've told them kind of how it fits into the big picture. And that'll relax a lot of people. Uncertainty about what's going to happen next when you care about the outcome is an opportunity for stress. And we don't need that kind of stress.
Right. And it will relax them not only before the interview starts, but also after the interview is over. Right. You don't want them stewing for a couple of days wondering what's going to happen next. That's not useful.
Exactly.
Okay. And after that, we get to what is probably the meat of the phone screen, which is the tell me about yourself question.
Yes. We have to start somewhere. Tell me about yourself is probably my second favorite interviewing question. I've actually conducted some interviews, full interviews, not phone screens, where the tell me about yourself answer took 7 hours because of the number. Well, if you remember, Mike, we interviewed somebody out at Pebble Beach a number of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And took quite a while to get through it because we needed to understand what were the choices, what were the decisions, because for the kind of positions we're hiring for, decision-making and clear principles around that were really important to us. And in our mind, whenever we hire, we put upon ourselves way too high a standard, which helps us enormously, but at the time, it feels bad, which is, this person's going to be with us forever. And I know that in today's world, that's not a standard that the gig economy follows, but the gig economy doesn't produce superstars, in my opinion. No offense, guys, but we assume somebody's going to be with us forever. And if you put that higher standard on it, you won't ever regret hiring somebody because you had too low a standard. That said, it's my second favorite because, of course, behavioral interviewing questions are my favorite. Further, if we've looked at their resume and maybe even HR's gotten involved or not, we may never have spoken to this candidate before. And this is going to be the first interview question you get to ask them. And they would probably tell their friends, oh, yeah, they've started interviewing me because they asked me a question rather than the resume screen. And resume screening and application screening is a complete black hole to candidates. And they wouldn't say I'm being evaluated. They would say I sent my stuff in. And, oh, they called me for an interview. Wow. But they don't know. I mean, even if they do it themselves, they don't really think about what process went through. Okay, let me go back and say something that I mentioned earlier. We want to keep in mind here, guys, that there's a difference between the actual interviews we conduct with candidates and the overall evaluation we're constantly in the process of making. Remember I said earlier, this is an interview, but we're also always evaluating. Effective managers are constantly evaluating, constantly measuring as the process unfolds, even when we're not conducting a proper interview. So in my mind, tell me about yourself is a great first significant interview question. For the vast majority of people, it doesn't require preparation specific to your organization or role, right? It relies on their knowledge of themselves, about which there can be no better expert than themselves. And what's funny about that is some people will actually say, well, I haven't really thought about it very much. And they think it's their way of positioning a very casual sort of offhand answer. And I always wonder about that. You want to be casual and offhand about this interview? You're the one that sent me the resume. You're the one that says you want the job. You know what this process is. You don't have a job yet. You're supposed to be impressing me and you're going to be offhand about it. And in fact, Mike, I've come to the conclusion, and I'm sure a psychologist would tell me I'm perhaps wrong, but I have come to the conclusion that that is their way of dealing with the stress of rejection. They're simply saying in advance, I don't care what you think about me. And I got to tell you something, that bugs me. Because there are going to be 100 other times where they're going to be asked to step up and do well for the organization. And if their response is, ah, I messed it up. Yeah, it's no big deal. I'm sorry, that does not impress me. I want people to feel success and I want them to feel failure. I'm not going to punish them for failure, but I certainly don't want them to say, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, no you want them deal. To care about it, right?
Yeah.
The assumption if you care, you're going to try to improve it.
And in fact, they do care, but their ego has to have a way to avoid the danger of caring about something they do poorly. And so they simply say, oh, this is no big deal. I don't like that. Now, the other side of the coin is a really well-prepared candidate. 10 to 20% of their tell me about yourself answer will change based on your job, your role, your company, the opportunity they're interviewing for. I love that. And people actually tell me, yeah, I have the same words every single time. No, you really shouldn't, depending upon the role, right? You'd highlight things slightly differently. And it's not a speech. The other thing that makes it a great first significant interview question is it's expected. If you're listening to Manager Drills and you don't know this, maybe you got interviewed in an unusual way, but this is the standard first question. And good preparation on the interviewee side for tell me about yourself is probably one of the single biggest separators once we start interviewing people, right? I mean, it's this guy's not ready. He's got a 30-second long answer and a minute long answer. I remember talking to somebody who asked me once, how do I think they did in an interview that I wasn't in? And I said, well, tell me about the questions. And they said, well, they asked me, tell me about yourself. I said, well, what did you tell them? He says, well, you know, and this guy was a manager. So it's not the usual hiring and firing. And I'm like, whoa, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah. I like, really? And he says, is that not a good answer? I said, no, it's really not a good answer. He says, well, no. They love me. I said, how do you know? I said, how do you know? And then I said, wait. Why are you asking me? If you're asking me how the interview went and you already know they loved you, that's all that matters. Well, I just thought I'd get it because they loved me, but I haven't heard anything. Well, how do you know they loved you? Well, they told me they were really impressed and they could see me working there. Yeah, okay. That's just like random statements of nothingness. There's nothing to that.
I want to make you feel good as you're walking.
Yeah, I want to make you feel good while I'm saying, oh dear heavens, no. So it's expected by any prepared candidate. Guys, you can't do an internet search of interview preparation and not come across this question. And unfortunately, you can also find a lot of bad guidance about how to answer it, which in fact we have in our interviewing series, right?
One of the key points you're making though is that since it's expected or should be expected, if the person does poorly, it's a real easy discriminator, right?
Yeah.
This is a question every interviewer asks. This person was poor at it when they had every opportunity to prepare. And if they're poor at this question, then do I really want to hire him?
And here's what's interesting. I'm sure there's a healthy percentage. Maybe it's 20, maybe it's 40%. I hope it's not 60 or 70% that are listening to this and going, ooh, you know, I'm kind of disagreeing with you here, Mark. Which by the way, guys, totally okay. You have different experiences. That's okay. Bring your thinking cap to listening about this stuff. But they would say, yeah, you know, I'm afraid that this guy might be outstanding. And this question, because he's not prepared for it, will cause me to say no to him. And I may miss something that's really good. And I would say, I get it. And you're missing the point.
Yeah, go the back point to the first point.
The point of interviewing is, yeah, what is the first rule is do X. Second rule is any question, refer to rule number one.
Right.
Rule number one is the purpose of an interview is to say no. Yes, of course, the interview process we create must hold together, must have some reasonableness around what we're looking for. It shouldn't be capricious. It shouldn't be random. But we are not looking for reasons to hire people. If you look for reasons to hire people, you will find them. If you're afraid that there's somebody who's going to go by, and I'm sure you remember the grid, the matrix that we throw up during the Effective Interviewer Conference. People are just astounded when they realize the reason why interviewing can be so bad is because the thing that makes you want to do what you do also introduces the greatest chance for failure, right? We call that hell on earth. We want to avoid false positives so brutally, so carefully that we're willing to deal with false negatives. And so if you're worried that interviewing or that tell me about yourself is going to rule out some people who may be good, that's not a reason to not do it. And it's reasonable from the candidate's perspective to hear it. Interestingly, though, even though it is a question that responds well to preparation, and most candidates don't do much of that preparation very well, it still is reassuring for them. It reduces as much as possible the chance that fear and nerves detract from the rest of the candidate's performance, because the majority of them are expecting it. And it's funny to think that I know it sounds weird, but majority of them expect it. And a few of them prepare. And for the record, guys, we'll do some more casts about interviewing in the coming years. But the candidate who knows something's coming, doesn't prepare, and says, I'm worried that the preparation will make me sound like rote, like I'm memorizing something, they haven't actually ever tried the detailed preparation. And in the technical realm, speaking to those of you who hire for technical positions and software developers and so on, you may think, well, you know, really, I just need their technical skills. Raise your hand, not while you're driving, of course, raise your hand if you've hired a good technical fit, only to discover that it was the worst thing you ever did. The whole people skills thing, you know, it actually matters. And how do people skills evidence themselves? Communication skills. How do we test communication skills? We interview people and ask them to respond verbally.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week. So long.
This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.